Claire, today is July 8th, 2011. This is Sarah Blanc, and I'm here with Mr. Jack Morton on the Panama Canal Zone project. Mr. Morton, can we just start with some details about your life, where you were born, and some details about your parents?
Well, I should start with my grandparents, who went to the canal zone during construction. And my grandfather, Morton, was a conductor on the railroad, and at that time the railroad was heavily involved in removing earth from the various cuts that were being formed to accommodate the canal. He earned the Roosevelt Medal with one bar, indicating that he had 4 years of construction service. On the other side of my family, my grandfather Bath, Charles Bath, he came to the canal as a military officer in sanitation, and he was a sanitation person, sanitation inspector during construction, and he had 8 years service with the canal during construction. So, and then my father, he went to work for the canal at age 15. He came down with his dad.
Down from where?
Down from Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Okay.
And he started work on the Cristobal Piers at age 15 in an agency called the Receiving and Forwarding Agency, RNFA, it was commonly known. And he retired in 19, he served an apprenticeship as a machinist and wound up with the railroad and retired in 1959. With 37 years service. And then I was born in the Colon Hospital, as was my brother after me and my sister 5 years later. And we stayed in Colon until 1940. And then we moved to the Pacific side, living in Ancon at that time. And my mother and father divorced in about 1943, and my sister left with my mother. They went to California. My brother and I continued with our education in Balboa High School, and he left to play baseball. And I stayed on, got an apprenticeship, telephone office repair, and was drafted into the Army in 1953. Came back in 1957 and got my degree in accounting at the University of Tulsa, and went back to work for the canal and worked in various positions in accounting, and then I wound up with the executive planning staff in the treaty planning group, and retired in 1983, and it was a good life.
That's what everyone seems to say about living in that area.
A kid, you know, we had the run of everything. I mean, it was such a safe place that nobody minded their kids running around anywhere they pleased. Mm-hmm. Even at 10 or 12 years old, World War II was going on. And we could go down to Albrook Field at that time and see the planes coming in and taking off, and go up to the place called the Diablo Dump and pick up airplane parts and take them home and construct their little play airplanes. 10 and 11, 12 years old at that time.
That's very cool. So did you go to schools in the canal zone?
Yes, went to Ancon Elementary School. And then Balboa High School.
Okay.
And I spent a short time in Canal Zone College, which didn't amount to much.
So you went to Canal Zone College before you were drafted?
Yes, just briefly, but it was a semester wasted. I didn't do well, but I went back to Canal Zone College after my Army period, mm-hmm. and on the GI Bill, and then went from there on to the University of Tulsa, where I completed my degree.
How did you choose University of Tulsa?
Well, I was in the Army with a fellow named Jerry Buchanan, who lived in Tulsa. And he invited me to stay with him and his family if I wanted to go to the university there. And that's what I did.
That's nice. And so how long were you there?
It was very nice of him.
Yeah.
See, I went there in 1958, I believe, and graduated in 1960. While I was there, I married my wife, who's also a Canal Zone girl. She was working in New York City at that time,
okay.
and came down to Tulsa to be with me, and we got married down there in 1960.
So you knew each other before, and then you were both in the States
at
the time? Yes,
I met her at Canal Zone College.
Okay.
She graduated from Cristobal High School in 1957. I graduated from Balboa High School in 1951.
Okay.
And so we got married in Tulsa. My first son was born in 1961, right after I graduated from college.
And you were back in the Canal Zone for that?
Mm-hmm.
So what did you do immediately out of college?
I went to work with the accounting division in Balboa Heights.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I moved on to... Well, they were looking for people to get involved in computer programming. The mm-hmm. Canal was initiating a computer system in various areas of the operation, and they were looking for computer programmers, and I raised my hand and learned a little bit about computer programming and went to work there for a while, and then went with the systems division, which was implementing the computer operations that were being started.
So these computer operations, were these for accounting or were these for the locks?
No, for accounting purposes.
Okay.
Yes, yeah, storehouse, the retail store, and payroll.
Okay.
Those were the three primary functions that had nothing to do with the canal operation at all.
So how long did you do that?
Oh, for a couple of years. Once the systems were in operation, I moved on to auditing, and I was there for a couple of years, probably. It's been on a long time ago. And from there, I went on to executive planning staff and got involved in the treaty planning.
Right.
Yeah, that was about 1973, 74.
And how did you get conscripted into that?
Well, it was, part of the job,
mm-hmm.
They put you where they wanted you and
yeah.
needed you.
Yeah.
And it was very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely tell me more about that. That sounds...
Well, it's hard to explain. Our involvement was only in the implementation of treaty provisions that were being discussed by someone else.
Mm-hmm.
At higher levels, we knew that certain things were coming about, and we had to plan for those changes,
mm-hmm.
And that was our whole approach to that problem: just to plan for the changes that we knew were coming from the treaty.
Mm-hmm.
Changes included loss to the military of. Functions like schools, hospitals, all of those two functions were operated by the canal as well as the canal. And those functions were being divested to the military down there, DOD. So along with that, there were a lot of personnel changes. A lot of our personnel were being transferred to military. Some were being reduced in force. And all of those things had to be planned and carried out, you know, effectively.
Mm-hmm.
And so the plans were drawn up, and there was a, I don't know what you'd call it, a deadline, but there was a five-year approach to what was going to happen in the future, and then there was a the long-range
right.
aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
The various bureaus in the canal had to develop a five-year plan on how the treaty would be implemented, and then beyond that, what they foresaw as a long-term effect on their operation. Some were eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
So some of these bosses were writing a plan to eliminate their job effectively.
Wow. Did they have difficulty finding employment in the zone after that?
Well, it was nearly impossible to find employment in the zone because a lot of the positions were being transferred to Panamanians, and the workforce as a whole was being reduced by thousands, so there just weren't any jobs available.
Mm-hmm.
So people like me, who didn't want to live on the economy in Panama City somewhere or buy a house in the former canal zone, we left and went to the States.
Okay.
To live.
So did you do that after this job was done?
Yes, in 1983, the job wasn't completely done, but my part of it was just kind of distasteful, so I left. Mm-hmm. My wife wanted to go. She was tired of living down there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And my two kids were in the States. And it was time for me to go.
When was your second child born?
Second son was born in 1963.
Okay.
In Ancon.
Okay.
Gorgas Hospital.
So they both eventually moved to the States. Did they move for college?
Yes. They should work for a short time in student positions with the canal, which gave us, you know, four generations of having been employed with the canal,
mm-hmm.
or DOD in the canal zone. And that my oldest son worked. Left the canal zone to start an apprenticeship in Houston, Texas. And my youngest son was just graduated from junior college with his AA degree, and he wanted to pursue his education in Austin at the University of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And so we moved to Austin.
Okay. Austin's mm-hmm. fun.
You've been to Austin?
I went for a music festival, so I don't think I saw the real Austin, but I saw a great...
South by Southwest?
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
At 6th Street.
Yeah, it was several years ago, but it was mm-hmm. a really cool place. It's not like the rest of Texas.
No. Well, it's a college town.
Yeah,
and big. It's music. You know,
yeah.
For as far as Texas is concerned.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. So your kids went to Canal Zone schools as well, right?
Mm-hmm. They both went to Balboa High School, where they graduated. Mm-hmm. My youngest went on to Canal Zone Junior College at that time, it was called. And he graduated 2 years later with his AA degree,
mm-hmm.
and wanted to go to the University of Texas in Austin. Well, that's where we moved.
Do you think that their upbringing in the canal zone was different from yours?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. In fact, you know, I grew up in the 40s, and they're growing up now in the 70s and 80s, and things are a lot different. You know, technology was different, and... cars were different, you know, and they wanted their cars and enjoyed them. And the facilities had improved a lot, you know, over the years, as you might imagine. And so I think they had a lot more fun than I did. Because I was walking to get around and they were driving a car.
Sorry, just blanked. Do you think that their history classes were more American history or world history?
Oh, definitely. They were, yes, world history. In fact, when I was in junior college they were teaching world history, early world history.
Okay.
And then, but the history was mostly dedicated to U.S., history.
Mm-hmm.
Not too much about Panamanian history. You might have, you can appreciate that the Canal Zone was kind of a colony.
Mm-hmm.
And the people there were colonists. They stayed by themselves pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Panamanians in the workforce, and I would say that the Panamanians, United States citizens, got along very well at work. Mm-hmm. But there was not a lot of integration between people in the Canal Zone and people in the Republic of Panama. It was really two different societies.
Mm-hmm. Were you there for the riots during the
mm-hmm.
treaties?
Yeah.
Did you get to witness any of that?
Well, not really. In 1964, the riots were primarily in the border areas of Panama City, and I drove down towards that area, and called my car and parked and could see the tracked vehicles, the U.S. military tracked vehicles lined up along the road, and you could hear the bullets flying over.
Mm-hmm.
But there was really no danger there. We were three or four, five blocks away from any activity.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the only riots that I can remember being significant in my period of time.
Mm-hmm. Was the treaty something that you talked with your neighbors about a lot, or was it really a topic?
Well, it was a hot topic. There was a lot of people who didn't think it was a good thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, a lot of those people were losing their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of uncertainty in their minds about what they were going to do in the future if their job was lost. So you can appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
it wasn't a happy time.
Mm-hmm.
The Panamanians, rightly or wrongly, were interested in having that area to call their own,
Mm-hmm. But you had to stay for 5 years because of your job, 5 years after the treaty?
Well, the treaty really didn't go into full effect until 1999.
Mm-hmm.
There were certain aspects of it that were coming into play before that, and actually I left in 1983, December of 83, and that was really before any of the major functions transferred.
Mm-hmm.
either to the military or to the Panamanians.
Mm-hmm. Did your wife work in the zone too?
She worked, while the kids were young, she took part-time jobs with the military. Then she went full-time with the military later on.
Mm-hmm.
Just before we retired, she got in about 10 years, I think, working in Criminal Investigation Division as a secretary and stuff like that with DOD.
Okay. Did your family have any sort of traditions in the zone or the community?
Well, we had our circle of friends, and we enjoyed partying with them either in the Canal Zone or in Panama City, either at a hotel or go to dinner at one of the various restaurants out downtown. And we formed a gourmet club where we went to dinner at each other's houses.
Mm-hmm.
Two couples would get together and plan and carry out a meal at various people's houses.
Mm-hmm.
That was a very good time. Joe Wood was part of that.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, Joe and Bev, yeah.
So when you moved to the States after living in Panama and in the Canal Zone for so long, what was immediately striking to you about your new life?
Well, it was different. A lot more convenient. Mm-hmm. You know, all the stores in the world were around you. You called it the land of the big PX. It was different in having to own and maintain a house in the yard that around the house, and getting used to paying taxes on property and calling, having to call people to do repairs on your house when they were necessary, and then having to pay them to do it. In the Canal Zone, the government took care of all the housing, and all you did was call a plumber, and he came and worked on it, and he left. Mm-hmm. It cost you nothing. So that was a big difference.
Mm-hmm. But did you still feel like you'd made the right decision to leave?
Well, it was the only decision to be made for me. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to live on the economy in Panama.
Mm-hmm.
It was a matter of deciding where in the States to live.
Mm-hmm. But it was an easy decision because your sons were
there. Oh, yeah.
What about for them when they moved here? Because they weren't moving here because of a treaty. They were just moving here for school.
Mm-hmm.
So did they like it more here?
Well, I'm sure my youngest son did because he was living with us. My oldest boy, who came for work, you know, had his struggles. He was an infant, you know, at 18. You know, when you find yourself landing in some U.S. city at the age of 18, never having lived anywhere in the States, it's a shock. And so he and his buddies were kind of at sea, trying to figure out how things were going to land in their favor and whether they could make a go of it.
Mm-hmm.
But he struggled on, and he's doing all right.
Have you been back to Panama?
Only one time.
When did you go back?
Well, it's actually been twice. We took a cruise down there, and the ship docked in Colon, which is on the Atlantic side.
Mm-hmm.
And since I had lived in that area for a short time in my life, we just took a taxi and cruised around in the city of Colon, and that was pretty much all we did on that trip. But a couple of years ago, I went with my youngest son and his wife down. We spent 5 days on the Pacific side and looked at some of our old haunts, you know, my old house, and we got to ride a tug in the canal, and saw some friends that I hadn't seen in a long time. We had a good time.
And what was your impression of the Canal Zone now?
Well, except for the housing areas, I would say that Panama's done a wonderful job of creating new business, you know, expanding their existing businesses to take advantage of the canal area.
Mm-hmm.
It was a huge container operation down there at the container ports. So I think they've done a wonderful job of using the Canal Zone to their advantage.
And did it look the way it did when you left, or did it look
different? No, there were a lot of changes, you know, particularly in the housing areas. Some improvements and some old houses still standing empty and kind of run down looking, but largely it's for the better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was not disappointed. On the Pacific side, the Atlantic side, I didn't see it all, but in the city of Colon was very run down. Unemployment is very high.
Mm-hmm.
on the Atlantic side.
And how long have you been coming to these reunions for?
Well, I think our first reunion was in 1984, when right after we came to the States.
Mm-hmm.
We've probably been to six or eight since then. Mm-hmm. We don't come every year.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been here for 3 years.
Okay. So 3 years ago was your last one?
Yeah.
And what do you usually talk about with people when you're here?
Old times, you know.
Share stories.
How they're doing today, and what their kids are doing, and, mm-hmm. you know, where they're living, and, yeah.
When I ask
aches
people.
Aches and pains, you know.
Yeah.
We're getting that age.
The last couple of people I've talked to, they have had completely different and very strong views about the treaty.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I ask them, when you come to these reunions, do people ever brawl or disagree? And they said, for the most part, they don't really talk about it.
That's right. That's right. It's history, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what they say.
Yeah. People are happy with generally, I would say people are much happier now than they were in the Canal Zone.
Mm-hmm.
Because of, you know, the facilities and the entertainment and their little laptops and silly stuff that people do.
That's
coming
true.
To the reunion and partying.
Yeah. Have they done anything spectacular at these reunions? Like, not you, but the people who put it on, do they... Have they had anything memorable in the last couple ones that you've gone to?
No.
I won't tell.
No. they put on a nice dance, you know.
Uh-huh.
I would say they work hard to put on a very nice reunion. And for the most part, it is very nice. We've been to various hotels, you know, since I started coming to the reunion. And the hotels that we have been coming to have gotten bigger and bigger because of the size of the group.
Yeah, it's a huge group.
But I'm getting too old for this party stuff.
That's not true. You're from Panama. That was another allusion that people keep making to the group coming here and the bar running out of liquor over there.
Well, I don't know that that's happened recently, but it has happened.
Maybe more in the 80s now.
Yeah, earlier, yes.
Yeah.
When the hotels were smaller, they had a reunion where that actually happened. I think that was over in the Holiday Inn Airport. I don't know if it even exists anymore, but they absolutely ran out of booze.
Mm-hmm.
And the bartender says, I've never seen so much drinking and crying and hugging. No fights.
That's good. It's good, especially when there is, you know, contentious issues floating around and no one.
Yeah, well, there were probably disagreements, you know, among the people whether the treaty was a good thing or not. But by and large, there, I would say that the people who left the Canal Zone to live in the States are pretty happy they did it.
So what do you think is important for people to take from your experience and your life living in the Canal Zone?
That's a hard one. You know, I think it shouldn't be any different from what people are doing or having to do today. You take care of your kids. Keep them out of trouble, you know. People have different ideas about religion and where it is in your life. I don't think it's, kind of life in the Canal Zone was a lot different from the philosophy of life in the States, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You try to do the right thing, you work hard. You know, keep your boss happy,
mm-hmm.
and keep the kids on the straight and narrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard that if kids step out of line a little too much.
Well, it was easy to do down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was a definite party atmosphere, you know, certain age groups.
Mm-hmm.
and there were lots of places to party.
Yeah.
And they didn't have the laws, the age restrictions on drinking and things like that that are common in the States, you know. Mm-hmm. We're talking about back in the 80s and the 70s.
Yeah, yeah. Is there anything else that you wanted to share today?
No. I was going, I'm sorry about that.
That's okay.
I was going to rely on questions more than speaking extemporaneously.
Mm-hmm.
We enjoyed the Panama Line steamships. We could come to the United States every 2 years on a so-called free vacation.
Mm-hmm.
The canal paid for your transportation back to your home of record, theoretically. You didn't have to go to your home of record, but they would give you an equal amount of dollars, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
So that even if you spent all your time in New Orleans, you would get enough money, as long as you vouchered it, to go to your home in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, if you wished.
Mm-hmm.
So people could come to the States on the Panama Line ships and travel around in the States and have a virtually travel-free vacation.
Mm-hmm.
They used that opportunity to buy new clothes and other things that they weren't available regularly in Panama.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, those were good memories for me, be able to travel in the States with my dad, and then have my own kids, wife and kids, to travel with, you know, drive around in the States. We saw a lot of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, a nice opportunity. We'd come up for a month, you know, which is unheard of, you know, up here. You get a week or two vacation, as
yeah.
you know. We get
great.
A month.
Did you take advantage of that every 2 years?
Not every 2 years, because, you know, although the transportation was free, it still cost you
mm-hmm.
a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Did they give you off from work as
mm-hmm.
well? Did you have paid leave from work?
Paid leave, oh yes.
Wow.
Oh sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was very good. Beyond that, there was a time where we got, where our pay was equated with civil service payroll.
Mm-hmm.
Our pay was civil service related plus 25% for a while.
Mm-hmm.
They reduced it later on to 15%. Which was our tropical differential, which was very nice. Pay was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the work was good, you know.
Yeah. But it wasn't too challenging for you when you got here and you had to start to manage all of these things on your own, like your home and your...
No, it wasn't. It wasn't difficult. It was different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see.
I had to learn a new area. You know, learn to get around in a new city.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't hard. Right. My wife was glad to be in the States.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's nice to have all your family back together again, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, is there anything we missed today? Anything we didn't cover?
Nothing significant, in my opinion. If you have any other questions, why, I'd be happy to go on, but
I think we're all set.
Okay, good.
All right,
Sarah.
Thank you. Okay, once again, this was Sarah Blanc, and I'm here with Mr. Jack Morton, and it's July 8th, 2011.